If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
You know, I live in Windsor by Loomis Chafee, where the convergence of the Connecticut and the Farmington River, and Connecticut's a beautiful place. We love the water that we have, and Connecticut River has had a problem with an invasive weed, I guess it what it is. Hydrilla, and there's been talk of how to treat it and how to deal with it. And for some reason, it's become a controversial issue. And so we kind of wanted to get a little fact from fiction here. And Greg Bugby with the Connecticut Agricultural Experiment, and it deals with their invasive aquatic plant program, joins us now. Greg, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So how do you say the herbicide? How do you pronounce it?
It's pronounced diquat. So it's diquat, okay. Yes. Yes.
Okay, so that's a long. And so I want to get basically the hydrilla, this invasive weed, I guess. You know, can you explain what it is and tell people how big a problem it actually is in, say, the Connecticut River?
Okay. Just go back a little bit to put everything in context. In 2016, we received a plant sample at my office here at the Office of Aquatic Species here, and we could not identify it. It was from the Connecticut River. It was actually from what's called a BioBlitz, which is a group of students and citizens that go to one area and they try to identify all species of organisms, plants, animals, bugs, whatever. And they came up with this plant they couldn't identify. It was brought to us. We looked at it, and we scratched our heads. This is something different. We had never seen anything like this before in Connecticut. We had seen hydrilla on occasion, but this didn't quite look like it. It was much more robust, and it had some different characteristics. So it took us like a year or so to actually send this off for what we call molecular identification, which uses basically DNA to determine what an organism is. And after this, it came back as a strain of hydrilla that had never been found before in North America. So this raised our eyebrows, and we said, okay, this is a potential problem. We need to find out just where this is, what is the extent of the infestation. We got together with a group of officials from various New England states that border the river, and we did a preliminary survey, just got some boats out there and looked, you know, where is this plant? And it was found to occur not north of Agawam, Mass., basically from Agawam, right at the Six Flags Amusement Park, south to within a mile or two of the Long Island Sound. It was not found. But where it was found, it was extremely dense. It had already spread to hundreds and hundreds of acres, infesting, right now anyway, infesting mainly the coves and the tributary rivers. So we knew this is something that could be significant, and we needed to do more rigorous survey. And it took my group literally 3 years, from 2019 to 2021, to do all the entire Connecticut River up to Agawam, Mass., and all the tributaries and coves, and actually detailed. We mapped the hydrilla infestation in detail, and we found close to 1,000 acres and many sites, like many of the coves and like the Mattabasset River, for instance, were basically engulfed in this plant to the point where you couldn't get boats through it. It was severely impacting the native ecosystem and causing problems.
Okay.
So with that, we said, okay.
I'm sorry. We only have 5 more minutes, so I want to make sure we get everything in. So I don't want to interrupt your point, but I want to make sure we get to our other questions because we are against the clock. So you discovered it, and then, you know, it's over a decade. You mapped out everywhere where it is, and the biggest issue, of course, is that it can really severely damage the natural ecosystem in these rivers, right. And who knows where it would spread. So when did the effort start to try to get rid of it?
Well, with that information, we said, okay, what do we do now? And we knew from us and others throughout the Northeast that for these big projects, you have to bring in you really should bring in the United States Army Corps of Engineers. So we contacted them, and they got some funding to do some work. And in 2023, they initially did some dye testing in some areas to see, you know, if they were going to do an herbicide treatment, where would this material go, and you know, what concentrations and that sort of thing. So they used food grade dye in a few areas, a reddish dye, and it was all there's public meetings to notify everybody what was going on. Everybody, you know, everybody went to the meetings, was on board. They did the dye testing, and then in 2024, they went to testing three different herbicides. One was diquat, another was what's called endothal, and another was called Procellacor. So they, on five sites, they tested these products. Only one site received diquat, and the results showed that all of these products work quite well. You know, there was no fish kills or anything like that. And with that information, they were planning on doing some more work in 2025. Now, they didn't receive any funding. This was back, I guess, when the last budget was passed, last October or whatever. It wasn't passed, but they were not giving any funding to move forward. So they basically had some funding left over from last year. So they had to prioritize some spots for this year. And with that, you know, there was five public meetings explaining what was going on. They have a web page. Everything until very recently was extremely positive. There was press conferences like we had last week, and it just very, very positive. So when everything changed all of a sudden this year, we were all quite surprised.
So what changed? People started saying, you know, really quickly, what changed? And also, is there any downside to using diquat?
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Well, I think what changed is social media picked it up, and it kind of went viral.
Picked up the weed or the danger of the herbicide?
I think the danger of the herbicide, at least the perceived danger, is of using an herbicide in the river, is what caused the viral nature of the social media. But this product, diquat, has been used for many, many decades. There's hundreds of applications, even in Connecticut each year. It's one of the go-to products. It breaks down very quickly in the water. It does bind to sediment, and then gradually will degrade out from the sediment. It takes longer for that. But again, the track record with this product is extremely good, and it's registered and approved by the U.S. EPA. They're the agency that does this type of approval. It's shown to be, you know, very, very safe and effective when used according to the label instructions. We're a little bit taken back at all the kind of the hoopla that's occurred, because again, this product's been used for so long with a really good track record.
You know, I'd like to get into more, you know, about what is the perceived negative of it. They think it's toxic?
Yeah, well, I think a lot of it has to do with putting a chemical, regardless of what it is, in the water. I mean, it does, you know, it's not like when you put it on your lawn. I mean, it's just your lawn, for instance. But when you put it in water, it moves and, you know, and that sort of thing. But, again, these products are used worldwide and certainly throughout the country, and they're really shown to be very, very safe and effective. You know, there's a lot of permitting that has to go involved with the Connecticut DEP in order to even use this. You got to make sure you're not going to harm any kind of organisms. There's some cases there's state-listed species involved that have to be protected. So a lot goes into the before you can actually do anything with an aquatic herbicide.
Right.
You know, it's a tool. We wish there was other options. I mean, some say, well, why don't you harvest it or pull it? You know, well, harvesting machines, you know, first of all, that usually grows back is, you know, quite quickly because you don't get the roots. And also, there's often a lot of, you know, fish and frogs and turtles in the actual hydrilla or whatever plant you're removing that you pull up with your harvesting machine, and they're not probably going to make it when that happens.
Yeah. Yeah, a little collateral damage. Greg, we got to run. I'd like to continue the conversation. We appreciate the time and the insight. And as you know, and again, it's important to, you know, get perspective on this. So thank you.
You're welcome. Happy to do it.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.